This is Six Pack Hour with your hosts, Joe Bob and AJ Appleton.
Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
All right. Welcome to the Fantasy Six Pack. My name is Joe Bond, founder of FantasySixPack.net. He's just laughing at something. I'm not really sure what.
Davis, I still need to send you money. Joe, thanks for not reminding me again.
I did not remind you, but guess the show will do that to you. Welcome to the Fantasy Six Pack Hour. This week, we're going to be covering the second base and third base position as we continue our position previews heading into the regular season. But before we get into that, let's do our business and remind you guys to, you know, hit the subscribe buttons, hit the like buttons, leave those comments, those reviews, wherever you're watching and listening. We appreciate it. It goes a long way in helping us out. Also, guys, if you haven't done so already, you need to move your leagues over to Fantrax. That's the place to play, guys. The most free customizations you could possibly have. The deepest player pool. H and I say it every single week on this show. That's the way to go. All of our leagues that we control are over there. I'm in some other leagues that are elsewhere, but I definitely prefer the Fantrax product over everywhere else. Go ahead and jump over to Fantasy Six Pack or Fantrax.com/Fantasy Six Pack and create your free account and move your leagues today. And then also can't go without mentioning, become an all access member to Fantasy Six Pack. You're going to get access to our award winning rankings. We've got our draft cheat sheets. We've got our DFS tools and projections. We've got betting content, DFS content. And then most of all, we've got our Discord, which we've got some free channels, but you can get access to some of those member only channels, which will be AMA special content as well. You'll get direct access to all the analysts there to have all of your specific league questions answered, whether it be baseball, football, basketball, hockey, golf, you name it. We're doing it over there. So jump into there, fantasysixpack.net/plans, and use promo code F6PMLB for 15% off. All right. I'm tired already just from saying all that. So let's jump in and welcome our guest here, returning to the show. Glad to have him back. Mr. Howard Bender from Fantasy Alarm. What's going on, man?
Not much, you know, doing my thing. It's, Super Bowl's in the rearview mirror, fantasy baseball in full gear. Everything crushing it over at Fantasy Alarm. We're doing our draft guide for free, so you can just go over to fantasyalarm.com and get a free draft guide, including my rankings, Adam Ronis's rankings, and all the fixins there. So just kind of doing the usual here.
All right, man, sounds good. All right, so before we jump into our content, let's do our beer / maybe a little something else of the week.
Beer.
So Howard's not drinking tonight, but I think he's partying on his own way. So yeah, if you're watching, you know exactly what that means. A little puff puff pass. It's all right. We good. Children, don't try this at home.
Family show, Joe. Yeah, right. This is why we had to move to 9:30. It's not.
It's legal in my state. This is legal. This is 100% legal in my state.
It is here too. So we're good.
Yeah,
of age, exactly. That's why I say children.
The gray in the beard.
Yeah, I had to shave mine because it was way too much gray and didn't.
AJ, what you got?
I myself am drinking the other half. Fourth anniversary is a zombie. Apparently this is a quadruple dry hopped triple IPA. Okay. 10%er Citra Galaxy, Enigma, El Dorado, Mosaic, and Citra Cryo hops.
All right.
Pretty damn good.
I am drinking, and it's from the Vale Brewing Company. It's in Richmond, Virginia. You would think the Vale, like, you would think it would be like a Colorado beer. It is definitely not. But it is called HMU. I tried to look up what it stands for.
Hit me up.
That's kind of what I thought, but no confirmation. But yeah, that's two people now that think that.
Are you not down with the children's lingo these days, Joseph?
I don't want to make assumptions because we know what happens. But anyway, it is a double dry hopped IPA. It's good stuff. I've had a couple of these already. So
all right.
not today, but Super Bowl party and other times. So cheers, guys.
Cheers and cheers.
All right, let's jump into our second base position. And, you know, Howard, when I look at the second base position this year, I think there's a lot of star power near the very, very top, and then it sort of peters out pretty quickly, where there's just a lot of you're really hoping and praying, it feels like, when you take some of these guys, even you know, middle rounds, right? That's kind of how I feel. So it's gonna be hard because, you know, every position you want to go early and get those guys, right? But this feels like one of those positions where you're either gonna get one of those like top two, top three guys and feel really good about it, or you might just need to just wait and. Because they're all kind of blah. What's your thoughts, and how are you attacking this position come your drafts?
I mean, real funny that we're actually doing second and third base, because I kind of feel the same way about both positions. Exactly what you're saying. It's very top heavy. If you're gonna, you know, if you're gonna want to grab a Jazz Chisholm or an Andrés Giménez or an Ozzy, like you're gonna have an Altuve, you're gonna have to jump early for it, you know, and get it done like that. Or absolutely. I mean, there's, you know, you go down the list. And it ain't pretty, but, you know, listen, you can't be great at every single position. You're not going to get the top guy at every position. So you're going to have to, you know, pick and choose your moment. So when it comes to second base and third base, I'll jump early for one, but not for both.
Yeah, okay. I agree, AJ.
I agree too. I mean, like you said, you can't have every position be the best possible player out there. As much as you might find out that you can make that happen in a one, maybe two person draft where you're also the second person. But yeah, I think I'm all for diving early for one of these. And I'm usually lean more towards second just to make sure I lock that one up.
Yeah. It's tough. They're not pretty, which is why we kind of put them together, right? And they were very similar, you know, depth lacking positions. So they kind of made a good combo show here. So not probably a whole lot more to say there about the strategy. You know, I think we all kind of said it already, but let's jump into the first player question here. AJ, you got the floor.
First player question, why you done me dirty, Whit? Why? What you do? What I do to you? What did I say about your family? I don't even remember, but man, Merrifield crushed me last year. I was very excited to have him. I actually had him in all of my leagues, every single league.
Oof. So it was your fault.
I had this guy.
So you're saying you need to listen to the fantasy rankings show more. You need to listen to the Fantasy Alarm Show more.
Because I do.
I asked Jim Bowden about Whit Merrifield last year. And I mean, listen, and Merrifield, you know, good guy, right? Talented player, steal you some bases, the second base in the outfield eligibility so good. But he was right. You know, the declining numbers, you're seeing it steadily happen. And, you know, a guy could conceivably just fall off a cliff. Remember Adam Dunn? Like, all of a sudden Adam Dunn went from hitting 40 home runs to all of a sudden hitting two, and that was it. And Merrifield's been a steady, you know, somewhat of a steady decline, but yeah, we got it, kind of got warned off him. You can't go back to him. Like, this is not like the, you know, let's have a rebound year for him. I'm not yeah. touching him. He done you dirty. Hold that. Hold that pain. Yeah. Hold that that right here, deep in your heart.
I'm going to. And you know, it's just amazing to me that he fell off even harder after he got traded. I didn't think it was possible because he was so bad. And then he just couldn't even the field to show everybody just how terrible he was. So, yeah, I'm done. He's dead to me forever now. So
I never bought into
Merrifield. Sorry, Jim. I should have listened to you last year.
I never bought into Merrifield as like a great fantasy player, but like, you know, at a second base position that was always kind of thin, I was like, well, all right. I mean, could be worse, right? You're not going to really get any power, but. Hell, I'll take 30 steals. Like, you would have thought that could be the floor for him. You know, you'll take close to 80, 90 runs or whatever it would be. You know, a solid batting average. You know, he's never been bad at that. I did last year, like, I mean, you're talking fall off a rock, like fall off a cliff. Jeez. I mean,
yeah,
he dove into the rock. He dove off the bridge into a rock. Like, he just killed himself. Like, it was bad, man. Like, 16 steals. Dropped 25 points in batting average. It can't possibly get any worse than that this year, I don't feel like. But, yeah, I'm out.
Oh, but it possibly could.
Oh, it could, because the Red Sox have decided not to try.
He's still on Toronto. So let me remind you, he's still on Toronto.
Why was I thinking Red Sox? I don't know why. Yeah, Toronto.
Yeah. You know who else went to Toronto? Maybe we'll get to him a little later on the show. Huh? Matt Chapman went to Toronto.
Yeah.
He didn't do squat either.
Yeah. Nope. I mean, hey, they've traded a bunch of players, so he's going to have playing time somewhere, you feel like. But it's – I don't really know.
Which one?
I feel like Batman when Billy Bean trades a player, you want to avoid that player.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so jumping over here, and you mentioned him earlier, Jazz Chisholm. Coming off an injury again, but had an amazing season when he was on the field. Rankings, ADP for this guy are all over the place. People love him. People hate him. That's kind of how it is. Like, there's really no kind of middle ground for him. Like, you're either kind of all in or you're all out on him. Where do you sit on Jazz Chisholm?
I'm a huge fan. And if you're sitting there in what, like the fourth round, fifth round, and, you know, and you need some stolen bases. See, here's the thing. I mean, Chisholm might not be ready yet, you know, for that big breakout season. But here's a kid who definitely has 30-30 potential, even in the, playing for the Marlins. He's moving out to center field, which should be really interesting to sit and watch that and how that develops. I just, you know, I'm a big fan of the player. I love the skill set. I really do. I think that he's got strong plate discipline in him. I think he's good on the base paths. So I'm definitely in on him. I mean, it won't crush my soul to not get him. Like we said, if you don't get one of those top guys, you can just sit and wait. But like, I'm not going to be like, yeah, I got to get Jazz Chisholm. I got to get him. Because I'm just, you know, I would be happy with him this year, but I think the breakout still might be a year off.
Yeah. I mean, I'm seeing ADPs mostly in like, I mean, the highest I see is 35. The lowest I see is 112, which is bizarre. But then 55s and 56 and 40s. So more up there, but there is truly the outlier. I won't name the site to call him out, but and the rankings are the same way, so it doesn't surprise me that the ADP is there for that site as well. Yeah, I mean, I'm in on Jazz as well. I like him. I think the talent is there. It's just he's got to stay on the field. And obviously the Marlins are going to hold him back as a lineup, you know, with some of the counting stats. But, you know, you'll take that where you can get him, especially at a very weak second base position.
Yeah, I'm a fan of his as well. I drafted him super late last year as just a flyer, you know, hoping something would pan out. And he was pretty damn good until he, you know, got injured and everything, obviously. But I can definitely see him having a slower start and then hopefully picking up towards the end of the season. And then, you know, next year starting that takeoff too, like you're saying there, Howard. So now we can dip into a little story time here, and that would be, what's the story with Trevor? The tantalizing tale of the tussle between talent and torment. Sorry for the alliterative.
That's beautiful alliteration.
I love it.
Well done. Like the James Joyce of fantasy baseball all of a sudden.
Don't let him fool you. He had that written in his diary for a couple weeks now.
I did.
Oh, the voice from above. Well,
yes.
All I could think of is story, novella. And I was like, nope, not going that way. So this is what I came up with instead. And the diary never lies. But the story with Trevor is that this guy was pretty fantastic when he came up. Didn't play a ton, was kind of, you know, looked at as a bit of an injury guy, at least by me early, because it burned in my brain there. But he has played pretty much every season. He's gotten at least 140 games until last year.
Hard. Damn, I haven't heard in a while. What's up, man? Yeah.
The next
BJ
that.
Upton. Sorry to cut you off, AJ. Just...
That's fine. That's fine. So, what are your expectations here for Mr. Story this year?
I don't really have any. I mean, he's not coming back till the second half, right? It's an elbow injury, so I need to see what he looks like swinging a bat. Mm-hmm. I can't take a guy who's had this major of an injury on the elbow. Sight unseen and expect him to go back to being the player that he once was. You know, it didn't translate all that. I mean, it was good in Boston going from Colorado, but you know, this is definitely a player on the decline, and I'm not interested, especially, if you've got unlimited IL spots and he's sitting there in the 24th round of your draft, then maybe take a shot there. But even so, I mean, I just don't know what you're getting out of him anymore.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, hard pass for me. It's not anything that I'm interested in. It's even when he is right, it's just so inconsistent. I mean, he had like a really hot stretch there for a brief period last season, and then but other than that, man, it was bad. I mean, he was hard to roster. I play in a lot of like weekly head to head leagues, and I mean, most weeks he killed you. So it's brutal. I don't know if AJ, you got anything to add, or we can just move on.
No, we can. We're done with the story. Close the book on Trevor.
No.
Oh, man. No.
We don't need to talk about him anymore.
All right. So,
wait, are we back to Whit Merrifield?
Gleyber Torres, interesting player. I mean, he was really good, you know, a few years back. Then just sort of died for like two straight years. Really was out of favor in New York, it felt like. But last year, everything just clicked back for him. Do you think he can reproduce last year's season and really make up for his ADP right now?
As much as I like him, as much as I think that he's got some potential to take a step forward, we've kind of been waiting on him for a while now. I mean, I remember when he was the hottest prospect in the Cubs organization, and it was a coup that the Yankees pried him away, and he really hasn't done all that much. And I don't really, you're getting a, I mean, this is a mid-range guy who unfortunately probably sees a little bit higher of an ADP because of name recognition and the allure of possibly blowing up for the Yankees. Like, wouldn't that be great? So I don't mind him, but you know, again, where he's going right now might be a little on the high side for me, maybe a round or two too much.
Yeah, Torres is tough for me because I had him way back when in the Dynasty League when he was a Cub, and I was a little up when he got traded, and like, yeah, okay, I can deal with this. Maybe he'll take over for Jeter, and yeah, not so much. I mean, just looking at it from a stats thing for me, he's kind of worse off than Story is in the fact that he just doesn't play more than 140 games. So it's hard to look at somebody who you, at this point it'd be it looked at and gonna miss some time. He's gonna miss game. He's not going to necessarily have to up against, you know, his K rate's going up slightly.
Yeah, it's not bad, though.
His ISO's okay. No.
Yeah, I mean, you're breaking up a little bit, AJ, so I'm just going to cut in here. Sorry. Torres is a guy, and I actually, like, it's weird. He's kind of like this bridge to like another tier if you're looking at ADP. So like there's like Andrés Giménez at 85 overall consensus ADP, then he's at 117, and then there's like another gap to Max Muncy at like 130, and then there's just like a whole group of players right in that category. I'm fine passing at Torres and building other positions because I feel like the difference between like a Muncy or a Jorge Polanco or a Brandon Lowe or a Lau or whoever right at that point in the draft isn't any worse than Torres. So like when we're talking about, you know, drafting value wise, taking Torres there, you're not gaining any value over waiting a little bit. You just don't want to then wait for like the Merrifield tier, which we've already mentioned. So careful. It does get bad and very bad very quick. But speaking of Andrés Giménez, AJ, you good now?
I do. Yes, I'm. What do you mean? Am I good?
I don't know. You were breaking up there for a little bit.
Oh, I mean, you tell me. Am I good? Do you hear me?
All right, keep going.
Much less like now? Max Headroom right now.
Yeah,
that's one for the old folks who are watching.
He's in 2021. Mr. Giménez was a much welcome surprise, source for two usually kind of punnable categories, and that's stolen bases and average, because we've seen how they've kind of fallen off. So what do you think we can legitimately see from AG in these specific categories this year and a little bit all around as well?
So I actually, you know, it was kind of funny going into the season last year. I wasn't high on Giménez at all. I didn't think he was anything special. I thought he was going to be like yet another one of those light hitting middle infielders who's, you know, slick with the glove, and they're going to leave him in there so that because he's, you know, great in the double play, you know, combo. But overall, I wasn't really sure if he was going to hit. And then, you know, we saw what he. So I'll say this, I'm a little nervous about the strikeouts and the batting average on balls in play now that he's coming off of such a strong season. So, but I mean, if this kid can go 20-20 again, or at least really close, 17-15, something in that range, and bat 270, 275, then I'm definitely all in. I think if people are super worried about the strikeouts and the batting average, I think, yeah, okay, the batting average can pull down. I don't see him as a 300 hitter, but I do see him as a 270 guy. And listen, I think that's completely fine for this day and age.
Yeah, I mean the strikeout rate like isn't bad though. I mean 20% strikeout. I mean in this day and age, that's pretty damn good.
Absolutely.
He had a high BABIP last year, and so you would think, okay, normally that's going to come down, but we're getting rid of the shift, so maybe it stays around the same.
Well, that I love. That's going to be crazy. He didn't strike me as being a dead pull hitter, but if they were victimizing him with the shift, that's definitely a thing in his favor right now. Great point then. Great.
Yeah. I mean, it was sort of, 50-50 with the split and non-split for him. So it was, without it, I could only see things at least staying the same with him as far as a batting average. So he's kind of a safe guy, in my opinion, to take. He's not going to like win you a category. He's not going to really like propel you to the top, but he's a guy who's not going to hurt you. That's how I see him. And when you start getting deeper into the second base position, that is perfectly fine. So Jimenez isn't a direct target of mine, but if it comes down to it, I'm not going to be sad walking out of drafts with Andrés Jimenez. That is for sure.
Yeah.
So to close out the second base position, Howard, we'd like to ask our guests a favorite late round target. Especially those playing middle infielders, multiple utilities, or you just decided to like punt second base for whatever reason. Who are you looking at?
So I got two guys who go pretty late, and one surprisingly pretty late. Like everybody jumped off the Jonathan India bandwagon. I don't even know why. Like why? Like because he had a down sophomore year. Seriously, the ballpark power. He's got some speed. Sure, the hair's a little greasy, and you're like, oh geez, I don't know what's going to change the motor oil, kid. But I mean, just I think that he'll find his center. I think he still has to level off as a player. So I'm not worried about, this horrendous batting average. I think he's definitely going to be a quality guy. I don't think the Reds are a good ball club, but I think that he could stand out for them. And that ballpark is absolutely fantastic. My other guy, though, who's like even like the deeper sleeper than that, is Miguel Vargas for the Dodgers. Here's a kid who, right now he's dealing with a fractured pinky. So he's not even hitting the bat. He's not even hitting again right now. But they put him in the field. So clearly they're not that concerned about this injury. He'll probably be swinging a bat in a couple of days. Just keep him on your radar because here's a kid again, who could have, he could give you 10 to 12 home runs and he could give you 15 to 20 stolen bases. I mean, there's the thing, with the new rules coming up in MLB, and I'm not even talking about the bigger bases. I'm talking about things like that the pitcher, a limited number of times that he can, throw to first base or let alone step off the rubber. So that's going to kind of change things up a little bit more. The shift being banned, again, that's going to be a huge thing with this also. I think we are going to see an uptick in stolen bases. So when you see one of these guys who – you think, 10 to 15 stolen bases, you might be able to pencil them in more on the 15 to 20 side based on what we could potentially be seeing in steals. So, nobody's in on Miguel Vargas. Nobody knows. In some leagues, in some software, he actually qualifies only at first base because that's where he was playing a bunch last year for whatever reason. But he's going to end up playing second base for the Dodgers. And there's good conversation right now that he's actually going to be on the opening day roster as the starting second baseman. They could lock him in. Gavin Lux is now over in at shortstop right now, and there's no, Turner's not sitting there at third pushing anybody else around. So Miguel Vargas could be a guy that you want to pay attention to.
That's a great name. You stole my job in India, so I'm having to search here for another one. But love it when I match the guests. AJ, you got anybody
for late targets? Not really.
We cover fair.
I mean, maybe Segura, other than that, not really.
Yeah,
that's why I tend to jump at second base.
Yeah, fair. A guy who I'm kind of looking at, and he might. he might sink your batting average, but I'm hoping the shift helps him a little bit, is Isaac Paredes, the Rays. Somebody who showed that he's got some pop in his bat last year, hitting 20 bombs, kind of out of nowhere. Didn't expect that at all. He kind of went on some like really hot runs to get there. But right now he's penciled in as the starting third baseman, but he's going to have second base eligibility. 205 average really hurts, but again, he had a 195 BABIP. It's weird. He actually wasn't shifted on a lot, so that might not go up a ton. But, you know, I think any lack of shift is going to help anybody. And I really think that you expect the BABIP of a 195 to go up at least a little bit with somebody who can hit the ball as hard as he can at times. So, I think he's a guy who maybe later on in the drafts, if you're lacking some power and you're a little weak at middle infield, things like that, then Paredes is somebody that you can target for those kind of categories.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
So let's move over into third base. And again, kind of the same thought as second, as you said, Howard. You know, again, this, it's weird because, what was this, like 3 years ago, we were looking at this position going, man, what a nice, this is the sweet group of players. You could wait on this position. It's so deep. Now it's just, it's not good. Not good at all. You know,
Ryan, we're talking
maybe slightly deeper than second. I say I'm safe to go like six or seven deep, and I feel good. Second base is like maybe four. After that, it is just like, I'm looking at all these names, and I don't really want any of them after that. So with that being said, I know we already kind of said the strategy, but just for anybody listening late, how are you attacking third base?
Very similar to second base. I mean, you hit it not in the nail on the head there. There's like six or seven, probably seven, that you can trust. And the problem is that their ADP, you know, sits, you know, you've got Jose Ramirez at the top, who's like, you know, third or fourth overall for everybody. And then by the time you get down to like Alex Bregman, maybe Gunnar Henderson, you know, that you're looking at an ADP of like 72. So that's actually, it's a pretty strong ADP for the top seven third basemen out there. So you're going to have to, again, either act on one of those guys, accept that, you know, accept one of those seven and formulate your plan there, or you're going to wait. Cause there's even a huge, huge disparity in ADP. When you look at like the eighth guy, I'm talking about like, you know, if you're looking at like the NFBC, ADP right there, it's like, you know, you got Gunnar Henderson in like, you know, like mid 70s.
He's actually 90 on NFBC.
And then all of a sudden you're down into like the next guy is like 120.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. And like, it's even like a stronger gap. So like the first six through Arenado is in the top like 30. Then Bregman's in like the 60, 70 range. Then you get Henderson in like the 80, 90 range. And then, yeah, you're right. It's like 120, 130 for the next, like everybody else. And you're like, I've never seen anything like that for a single position where it's like such a drop off. And I mentioned it a little bit at the second base position, but it's even more of a gap jump like that between just like two to three guys. So I personally like to get one of those top six because I feel like they are difference makers to where like even the top couple of second basemen, I don't feel like are like true difference makers for your team outside of, you know, if Mookie Betts still has second base eligibility for your league, maybe, right? But after that, we're just talking about like Altuve and Simeon. I mean, you can replace stats, right? You can replace this. The guys we're talking about up top here, Jose Ramirez, Machado, Devers, Riley, Arenado, these are like legit all-star, superstar players. I left off one name because we're going to get to him next, and I want to get your thoughts on him. But these are legit superstars that can carry you in your league, and that's why they go in the first two rounds. So I do really like getting this position early because those guys are so good up top.
All right, let's dive on in here with Mr. Bobby Witt Jr. I mean, it's almost like a NASCAR name, I feel like, but
it does sound like a good call.
So,
even though his dad was a baseball player for all those
exactly. All those years on the dirt track, man. I just go kart finally tore out. Started running bases, but he was nothing short last year of amazing. 20 and 30. What more could you want? Oh wait, well his RBIs, he only had 80. His runs 82 and a 254 average. That leaves a little bit to be desired for a former top pick. So between these two, you know, different categories and whatnot, or groupings of categories, does it make you hold off on drafting him? Or, you know, most sites have him going between mid-first and mid-second, so... What are your thoughts on NASCAR Junior?
I'm 100% all in on Mr. Bobby Witt Jr. No doubt about it. Listen, the batting average will come up. This kid's a player. He's a great power speed combo. Absolutely love him. Love the fact that he's also got eligibility at shortstop. So it gives you that added position flexibility between middle and corner infield as well. I just, you know, listen. He doesn't play on a great team, but he's a great player, and he's developing even more. So I think that we see a nice upward trajectory for Mr. Bobby Witt Jr. I mean, listen, I saw him in a 15-team draft champions league. I saw him get taken, you know, a little too early, like eighth overall. I thought that was a little high. Yeah. You know, push him to the back end of the first round for me. 12-team league. Yeah. 14-team league, 15-team league, fine. You know, he's still in that, you know, to me, he's more of like that, you know, guy you grabbed like on the turn. So I would say, you know, 11 to 15 is the range that I would put him in. But I would love to have him. That's why, you know, I kind of want to do some drafts, you know, at them be at that back end just so I can grab him and see. I think I did him doing a Tout Wars draft and hold league, and on the it's 15 teams on the wheel. Dan Strafford got Machado and Bobby Witt.
Oh, nice!
And I was like, crap. I was kind of hoping that Witt might creep around to me because I was picking 11th. Ooh. But damn, yeah, really, it was like, I mean, that's a sweet turn. So yeah, if you can grab yourself some Bobby Witt Jr., do it. Grab him, love him.
Nice.
Yeah, I've got the 12 in TGFBI, and if he's sitting there, it's going to be hard to pass on him. I do think the potential is there. You know, he is going to still hurt you in those counting stats. As much as I think the Royals offense is going to be a little bit more improved this season with Melendez, you know, another year under his belt, Witt another year under his belt, it still lacks the run-producing power overall. To have him hit, you know, 90-90, I think, you know, is his ceiling. He's probably still hovering in that 80 range for those. And that hurts you as, like, a first-round pick. You love the steals. You love the power. The average is going to bring you down. I do think there might be other guys that are just, I hate to say this word, safer in the first round than him. Yeah, he's probably got the higher ceiling than a lot of them. But in that first round, I feel like you can lose in the first round. You're not going to win so much in the first round, but you can lose. And taking a guy like Witt, who might be more of a a two category good player and then like a three category mediocre player, that might hurt you if you take him that early. Yeah, if he falls to the middle of the second round, I'm all over it. Because you know, the runs and or not the runs, the home run and
you gotta go stealing,
stolen base potential there is just too hard to pass up. But middle of the first might be a little too high for me, even back end first. But I think he's a great player. I'm excited to see what he can do on the field this year. We did mention Gunnar Henderson as we were talking about the ADP and kind of where things break off here. He's very polarizing to me. And, you know, this comes from as an O's fan, right? I mean, I want to see him do great things. But I wonder if his ADP is just a little too strong at this point. Yeah, he had a good cup of coffee last year in the majors. But, I mean, I feel like people want him to be great and, like, jump into that Bregman range. And that's why people – you see ADP on certain sites kind of creeping that way. Do you believe in that?
I believe in the player. I do agree with you that he might be going a round or two too high. I mean, listen, I think he's very, you know, very underrated in OBP leagues. I think he definitely has the potential of hitting a 340, 350 OBP. Mm-hmm. I mean, last year in the minors and then coming up for his cup of coffee, he had like a 380 OBP. So, yeah. You know, he's got good plate discipline. He's got some power. He's got some speed, you know. They're likely they might move him over and have him play some shortstop as well, is what I'm hearing. Huh. So that could add multiplayer eligibility. I think why he's being elevated as much is obviously, yes, everybody loves their shiny new toys when it comes to rookies. I am a huge sucker. My Achilles heel is power hitting third baseman. Hmm. Like rookie power hitting third baseman over the years has been. Like, I mean, I can go back to Adrian Beltre, Garrett Atkins. I can talk about Hank Blaylock. Like all of these like third basemen coming up in the Eric Chavez, like all of these guys from like the 90s and up. And yeah. I just kept getting them. And everybody knew, like in my auction league, they were like, ah, you know, shit, Bender's going to want this guy. So, you know, I'm not going to get into a bidding war with him on that. Some people were like, oh, I'm going to try and bid him up. And then, you know, usually I'm like, yeah, all right, whatever. I'll just pay that extra dollar. So I think, you know, that's kind of where I'm at with Henderson also. But I'll say this as well. We talk about the drop off because I think I have Henderson like seventh in my rankings at third base. That's the drop off right afterwards is brutal. Yeah. And so I think that some people kind of jump to Henderson because they look and they're like, oh shit, Henderson's right there in my rankings. And oh God, do I really want to get stuck? So let me take him now. Let me lock him in a little early. So I think that's kind of what we're seeing with him right now. Still going to be, I think, a great player overall.
Yeah. He's eighth for me. It's the first six we mentioned and then Bregman and then Henderson for me. So he's eighth, but yeah, that gap between him and like the Muncy and the Jose Mirandas and the Eugenio Suarez. And, you know, you said Matt Chapman's name earlier, Ty France, like those guys they're fine. But if they're your starting third baseman, you might be having problems. So Henderson at least has that like allure of like having a I don't know if you want to call it a breakout, but yeah. Probably breakout type season. He has a higher ceiling than those guys. You know what you're going to get from Muncy and Suarez. It's going to be power low average, most likely. Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. No shift. Give me some Suarez late. Oh, yeah. I'll take that. Now that's that the nice, shift isn't nice happening, late, that yeah. Dude's a dead pull hitter. I mean, he can really bang it up the line there. So I'm hoping that that maybe he doesn't get crapped on as much. Batting average wise.
Ooh, yeah, you're right. He was shifted on in like just about every single at bat he had. So interesting.
Nice.
All right.
So next guy we got here is Mr. Ke'Bryan Hayes. I am just a few years ago, this guy was thought of as a top prospect. Injuries, you know, slowed him down a little bit. We're still waiting on this power to come through. Maybe it won't ever. But what are your thoughts on Ke'Bryan Hayes? You know, kind of as more of a potential post-hype sleeper.
which is easily my favorite term in all of fantasy sports. I love post-hype sleepers because, you know, so the masses just don't believe in them.
Yeah.
What? It came in and you know, it was like it was the smart, savvy player who withstood bad first seasons for Mike Trout, Aaron Judge. You know, I mean, how many guys have we seen come up and struggle? And then, you know, obviously you said the injury also really kind of damaged it. I think Ke'Bryan Hayes is a really good player. I like the fact that you can get some speed out of him, you know, from a position that really isn't notorious for speed, unless you're going to slide John Birdie in there, but really, no. So yeah, I like that aspect of him. I think the power can come if he increases his launch angle. He needs to swing for power. That's it's going to probably raise the strikeouts a little bit more for him. But if he just alters his launch angle even just a little bit, I think he's got the potential of hitting well. Obviously, you're also going to need that on the road as opposed to home, because I mean that ballpark right there, as gorgeous and beautiful as that ballpark in Pittsburgh is, it is it's not a great hitter's ballpark. So, you know, but I like the kid. I like him, and I love the fact that he's like a free pick nowadays. Yeah. A free pick. Nobody grabs him anymore.
Yeah, everyone's like just afraid. They don't want to deal with what they've seen so far. And I think his best days are way closer ahead of him than what he's shown. So
yeah, he's a little older than I thought. He's 26. He just turned 26 actually. So but I would have thought he would have been
26.
But
nah, dude, that's prime right there. That's physical prime.
I get
prime.
It, but I just, yeah, I, for some reason, thought you want him to be. He came up faster through the minors than that. He came in younger, but I guess he hovered in the minors for a lot longer than I remember. Yeah, I mean, his ADP right now is hovering around 200. Freebie pick, why not? I mean, you know, if you're looking at, you know, middle corner infield at that point, you know, it's him or, like, you know, Anthony Rendon. I mean, does anybody really want him anymore? Like, no, not really.
He's ranked that high?
He's ranked a little lower.
I said the same thing to Bowden today about Rendon, and he was like, oh, well, I mean, listen, if he stays healthy. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big if. Come on.
If he stays healthy.
Yeah. Oh. No.
He will not.
But actually, will Rendon stay healthy? Guarantee Bowden loses that one.
But we talked about this, about Rendon being a health guy, you know, health issue guy. And he really wasn't. He was one of those mirror what the hell things. At least I'm pretty sure that's what we figured out maybe last year's show or something, because we were talking about him. And it's like, well,
no, yeah, he did have that. Dude, he was so consistent. He was always on the field for like five out of his first seven seasons. He was like on the field all year long.
Yeah.
Last three seasons, 52 games. Okay. I mean, that was the strike season. 58 or yeah, strike COVID game. Season, whatever. And then 58, then 46.
Yeah. So no. The last 2 years. Well, no, that's what I'm saying. The last 2 years.
It's been bad.
It's fuck it. You don't want him.
Yeah, but he's also been just been like,
give me haze, damn it.
Like, he tries to play through injuries, and it like, and that hurts his stats the last few years too. So I'm just out on him. Anyway, this wasn't supposed to be a talk about Anthony Rendon, but bonus talk. There sure you go, guys. We talked about, you know, post-hype sleeper, maybe post-hype breakout player. Brandon Drury did that, but like, holy cow, that came out of absolutely nowhere. This guy wasn't even drafted last season. People picked him up for free. Busted out for 28 home runs. You know, 263 average overall, which is pretty solid. 87 and 87 for run and RBI. Like, what? Where? Now, granted, it feels like nobody believes in it, and I kind of understand why, because his ADP is in, like, the, you know, around 180, if not lower for some sites. Howard, do you believe in Brandon Drury at all this season now that he's with the Angels?
I don't.
Yeah.
I don't. I mean, I think the Angels brought him in. The Angels brought him in as an insurance policy, right? Because Rendon doesn't stay healthy nowadays. And they might need him to play a little bit, but I just, it's just not going to happen again. And I think that, I think it's smart. You know, this, it's like a moment like this. Like if I saw Brandon Drury and I saw his ADP was inside the top 100, I'd be pissed off at the world. I would. I'd be like grabbing people and shaking them and slapping them silly just to be like, what is wrong with you? Like that's like the classic fantasy trap. The guy does absolutely phenomenally last year, so you know that that's going to be exactly what he's going to do this year. And the, herd kind of does, and it just doesn't happen. So, I mean, look at Brandon Drury's just his overall track record as a player. This isn't like some young spring chicken we're talking about. This isn't the guy who's in his physical prime. This is a guy whose kids are in their physical prime at this point in time.
He's only 30. It's not too bad, but yeah, it's
Yeah, he's got
it,
six.
I don't believe it at all. Last year was just absolutely nuts.
Exactly. He was a goddamn fucking machine back then. Now comes to the big leagues, and he's
you drafted him for his super sperm then. Exactly. Right? Not now. Forget it.
How do you think he learned to bat so well?
Oh my gosh, this show has gone off the rails. It always does. It's just a matter of when. Mark it down. Timestamp LaPlante, 49:12 is when the show went off the rails. Anyway, yeah, I feel you, Howard. And I mentioned him only because I was actually shocked that the masses haven't chased it as much as they have. And maybe it's because early ADP is primarily, you know, like NFBC and more like industry, you know, really top players that set that early ADP. And so maybe, you know, people have just figured out, oh, okay, well, yeah, last year was cool, but everybody else doesn't think it, so maybe I shouldn't think it either. And instead of just being like, well, no, screw that, he hit 28 bombs last year, like, I'm going to follow that. I feel like if it was fantasy football and, like, a running back came out of nowhere and just, like, ran for, like, 1,200 yards and, like, 10 touchdowns, we'd be like, God, draft him in the second round. And everybody would just do it. But they haven't done it with this guy. But, I mean, like, there's a lot of baseball players that people do that with as well. So it's more of a shock to see his ADP as low as it is. You do see some sites, though, where it is in the 150s. You know, so careful. I'm not going much – like, I wouldn't hate to have him as like a bench utility, you know, depth guy if it came down to it. But as somebody I'd be like hoping that would reproduce his stats last year. No, you got to really look at what his skill set is. It isn't what it was last year. He got super, super lucky in my opinion. I just do not believe he reproduces anything close to what he did last year. All right, so that is it for the third base position, except we got to get your favorite late round target or targets, Howard.
It's Brandon Drury. Come on. No.
Where have you been the last 20 minutes? Psych!
The last few minutes? We were just kidding, guys. No, just kidding.
I don't really have a good third base late round sleeper. The guy I'm watching right now is Yoan Moncada. I just want to see what he looks like during the spring. You know, the injuries got him last year, and that was, you know, that was a problem. He had dropped some weight. They had talked about running him more. He was a big stolen base guy when he, you know, first when he came up through the Red Sox organization. He was a big stolen base guy back then. So I feel like he wanted to get back at it. If I'm sitting there and I've got, you know, significant depth on my roster, like, you know, if my roster is good and my bench is, you know, I got a healthy sized bench, then I might take a late round stab at Moncada just to see what happens. You know, just like a last ditch effort. And if he doesn't, hey, listen, if he doesn't pan out within like the first couple of weeks of the season, then he's an easy drop.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He's one I've never been a huge fan of. He had a couple years in a row where it was like, oof. But the last.
You're speaking my language, brutal. Though, Howard. You got any more White Sox, you know, later on?
Oh, you know what, man? Well, if you had me on for first base outfield, we could have talked to Andrew Vaughn.
Yeah, we did talk about him. Yeah, us and Eric Cross. Yeah, we love us some Eric.
We love
Andrew Vaughn.
Yes, we do.
AJ, who is your third base late round target?
I mean, I do like Moncada, but he kind of burned me a couple of different times. But I still think he's worth a shot, too. I mean, you mentioned him earlier, too. John Birdie.
Fuck it, just for the steals.
Cheap steals.
It's like, yeah. Why not?
He's just got to get on the field. In the beginning of the season, we don't know where that's going to be, if it's going to be. So that's the problem. But he's an injury away from just running wild again.
Yeah.
I had fun having him on my roster and saving my steal ratio, my steal totals last year.
Yeah, I remember.
I had zero beforehand, like, and then I had
career 60. weeks that you awesome. And I played. I was like, "Fucking John Birdie, God, this guy!"
I think I knocked you out in the playoffs because of John Birdie. Thanks.
Did the matchup not matter though?
I won the league last year, so obviously mattered.
Mm-hmm. No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. Our league, the Fantasy Six Pack League? Absolutely, I won. I've won 3 years in a row. Get away from me. Go check the record books.
I don't know.
Stamp it. All right, so I'm looking at, you know, a couple different guys here, and one is Josh Jung, Texas Rangers. You know, he's been a prospect for a while that came up last year and did pretty well. Batting average was bad, so you really need to see his strikeouts improve drastically. But, you know, he never struck out quite to the clip that he did in the majors last year in the 26 games. I mean, it was up at 38%. He's never been higher than 28% before. So I do expect that to come down. It won't be great, but he does have tremendous power. And so I really like that potential there. And I think the batting average obviously goes up because he won't strike out at almost a 40% clip. So the other guy here is another young guy, Brendan Donovan, St. Louis Cardinals. Everybody likes the other third baseman for them, you know, slash outfielder in Jordan Walker. But I just don't know when he actually gets the call up. Everybody wants it to be soon, but we know the Cardinals don't typically do that if they're comfortable with who they have. And I think they are comfortable with who they have. So Brendan Donovan is also a pretty good player there that's going to play quite a bit. He's second base in outfield, but I think he is eligible at third base as well. So he's a guy who, you know, good batting average, doesn't strike out a lot, walks a ton. So OVP leagues, like, hello, go get him. He, you know, power isn't really going to be like tremendous for him, but you know, he's just a solid overall player for you who isn't going to kill you in any one category, in my opinion. So I like Josh Jung a little bit better, but Brendan Donovan is another guy that I could target as well, late in drafts, very late, by the way.
So going back to that season last year, yes, I was incorrect. You did win because your finals matchup ended in a 5-5 tie, and you happened to be the 2 seed facing off against the 5. So, point to you.
Still a win.
Still a win. And what's even funnier,
I'm just laying it out there.
The reason why it was a tie, it was against Jonathan Chan. I dropped.
Wait, are you talking football or baseball? He smoked me, Pete?
Yes.
Oh, fuck. He changed his name.
I dropped Jeremy Springs for the Reds' Lodolo, who I dropped. No, not you.
No, I dropped him a while back.
Oh, but Jonathan must have picked him up, and then Jonathan dropped him. Yeah. So I dropped Springs. He dropped Lodolo. I pick up Lodolo. He picks up Springs. The reason why I win is because of strikeouts and quality starts.
From Lodolo.
Something that Springs didn't get many of last year. No. And Lodolo did, especially down the stretch. So it was like I messaged Jonathan afterwards. I was like, thanks for the trade that you didn't actually intend to do. Got me my win.
Oh, you're welcome.
But I will get crushed this year because, you know, three of my four keepers are no longer eligible as keepers, Acuna, and so it'll be fun to kind of rebuild. But hey, I took my 3 year in a row, and I'll
and you'll never see another one.
My bank account looks good from you guys. Thank you so much. So that being said, Howard, thank you for coming on. If you want to let everybody know where they can find you on Twitter and what you got going on this draft season. And beyond.
Right here on the screen at RotoBuzzGuy on Twitter. You can hear me on the Fantasy Alarm Show, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio, Channel 87. You can find me in the New York Post every weekend now for some fantasy baseball articles and the Fantasy Alarm MLB Draft Guide, 100% free. Just go over to fantasyalarm.com and find it right there on the homepage and in the menus, and you're in. Thanks so much for having me, guys, man. Always a pleasure to get a chance to hang with you.
Yeah, man. Absolutely, Howard. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate your contribution as always. Have a good night, man.
All right.
Thanks, guys. Yep. You too.
Have a good night, man. So, all right, man. So, AJ, I think that is it for the show. Next week, let me check the docket. I know we're doing short stops, but I got to check who the guest is. I totally blanked on it. It is
Matt Williams.
So, yeah, looking forward to having him back on. Great guy, great guest, smart as hell. So looking forward to see what he has to say about the shortstop position. And with that being said, we will call it a night. And we are under an hour. Hell yeah. First time in a long ass time. Peace, guys.
Cheers.
Thank you.